someone has this more, you know, relativistic understanding of truth, how do we help them understand truth? The answer is we don't. Who helps us understand truth? Who leads and guides us into all truth? And I think with the changes that we're seeing today, God is really inviting us to come in and partner with him, not do it all ourselves. And to me, that is so freeing as we're navigating conflict or as we're trying to help people grow and thrive. So I'm going to just talk briefly this morning about coaching and how I believe it is one of the most powerful tools that God is allowing us to use to partner with him and the Holy Spirit and what he is doing in the lives of the people that we're called to support. So why is coaching so effective today? It's a very trendy word. It's being used in all kinds of contexts. It's getting a lot of attention. Why is it so popular today? It's very basic skills, but why are we using it today? I want to talk just quickly about how the world has changed. So information back then, before these lovely little props came around, was conveyed very, very differently. You think about people reading the newspaper and having time to talk to people, maybe over their morning coffee, or sit around and talk about the news or the headlines. I remember reading a story about a family in western Wisconsin during the Civil War that they would every once a week go down to the river when the barge would come up the river with the newspaper from Chicago, and they would read the latest update on the Civil War that was happening in their country. And the whole town would gather to get the update. They would talk about it, process it, and then they would what? Go back to their fields, their gardens, their kitchens, and think about it, and process it, and discuss it, and probably pray over it until the next week when they got the next bit of information. I think about growing up on furlough, staying at my grandparents' house, and every night watching the 5 o'clock news for one half an hour. And then talking with grandma and grandpa and hearing their opinions on it. We had time to process. We had time to think about information. We were getting it in small chunks. Nowadays, how do we get information? Information today is constant, overwhelming, unending. We are living more vividly the war in Ukraine or Afghanistan or wherever than we lived wars in our own country then. We are just inundated with information. The world is so noisy, and we don't have time to actually hear ourselves think or to process all the information that is bombarding us. Thinking back then occurred all the time. If we were walking home from work, we could be thinking. If we were, you know, sitting at a stoplight, we could actually think instead of check the text message that just came in. If I was sitting in the dentist office, I might think about things instead of scrolling a social media feed mindlessly. There was time to think. Today, thinking looks like walking around with something in our ear talking to us while we're absorbing something on the screen in front of us while we're watching someone else. We're just bombarded all the time. There is no space for thinking. Our thinking is reactionary. We're just responding to whatever information or noise is coming at us right now. Learning back then. Does anyone in here remember the days where you would actually look out the window at the bird while your teacher was droning on and on? Right? It was a teacher just talking at us, and it was very easy to pull someone's hair sitting next to us or stare out the window. There was time to think and process and consider information, even as we're saying, because it was very one-directional. Learning today looks very, very different. Learning today is we are connecting with people. I was mentoring a young lady, a high school student, through the pandemic, and she was just really struggling because she's like, I'm on my computer trying to listen to my lecture, but Netflix is right there and YouTube's right here and text messages are coming in. So today, even our learning is so distracted and interrupted. My sister is a social worker here in the Twin Cities, and she was watching a presentation on the impact of video games this week, and the instructor actually said to all of the Gen X and Millennial teachers in the room, I want you to pay attention to how often you want to check your phone while you're listening to me talk. Just pay attention to how often you have the urge to look at your phone while I'm talking. It has impacted us all, our ability to think in a consistent protracted way has decreased as our thinking is constantly, our learning is constantly interrupted. So learning today, thinking today requires new strategies. And this is where coaching has become so, so critical. So really quickly, I want to reference just a way of thinking of learning. So Elizabeth Urbanowitz does a lot of work on apologetics and how do we help the next generation increase their biblical literacy. And she likes to say that the person who is talking is the person who is thinking, and the person who is thinking is the person who is learning. Okay, so again, often we feel the impulse to tell people, to convince people, to create a great argument to help someone understand something. But the reality is what we have to do today in this new context is we have to get people saying it themselves. We need to encourage them to do the thinking and the talking and the learning. So the more we can get someone else talking, the higher their chances are of actually learning. And the less we talk, the more likely they're going to stay engaged because it's not just inundating them with new information. What coaching does is coaching creates a space. I want you just to think of all of this information, all of this noise, all of this processing. People need space to think and process, just like we used to do in the old days without any help. We need help to do that today. So coaching creates space for an individual to talk, to think, to learn, to process, to understand, and to discern what God is saying and doing. This is where I have come to view coaching as a sacred task in creating space where people can actually hear, above all the other noise in their life, what the Holy Spirit is saying to them. I don't have time to go on a ton of tools this morning, so I just want to reference a couple. One is the Coach Model by Keith Webb. A lot of missions agencies and churches are using this. Okay, and Keith Webb, he says that coaching is an ongoing intentional conversation that empowers a person or group to fully live out God's calling. And this is what we want to do in member care and missionary care, is to help equip people to live out their calling. And coaching is a tool that helps us do this. Keith Webb has a great model that if you're working with someone over time, it's my favorite model to just use in an ongoing conversation and relationship with someone. However, I want to talk this morning about the coach approach, because we don't have to have a formal model to integrate coaching into everything we do. I integrate coaching into my parenting, into my relationship with young people I'm mentoring, into my relationships with my students. Coaching strategies are helping can help us in every area of our life. A coach approach is applying these coaching concepts and skills into how we mobilize, how we teach, how we equip, how we develop others. The key skill of coaching is asking the right questions. Asking the right questions and listening to help the individual work through their thoughts, process the information, and examine options and develop a plan. So two skills: asking really good questions that require more than a one or two word answer. My favorite is tell me about. Tell me about. Instead of asking my kids, did you have a good day at camp? Tell me about the best day or best part of your day at camp. Okay, finding ways to frame questions that help people pause and actually think deeply. I'm gonna just read in our book, on Mobilizing Gen Z, Katie and I have several chapters on coaching, but Katie, who is actually the director of mobilization for GoCore, that's out in the exhibit hall, so go ahead and stop by there, she developed a list of questions on different topics. I want to just give you a couple of examples. So, for example, we talked yesterday about negative emotions and how emotions can guide our decisions, our actions. So we have a whole list of questions on processing emotions. Where do you think these are coming from? What do you think is the purpose of feeling these things at this point in your process or your experience? What could God be saying to you through these emotions? Do you see anyone in the Bible expressing that emotion? How did God respond to that emotion? What do you think this concern reveals about what you believe or trust in God? So just finding ways to ask these really powerful questions that help people process, whether it's emotions, conflict, struggle, becomes really, really important. And then actively listening. Now, I have three sisters who are mental health therapists, so I like to say I'm well-diagnosed. They know everything about me. But they have practiced active listening for me, and they have taught me about active listening. And despite that, I struggle with active listening. So even though we all know what this is, I'm just going to review very quickly what is active listening. It is creating that space for people. It's asking those good open-ended questions. It's focusing our attention on the speaker and making that eye contact, maintaining it, not being distracted by someone walking past, maintaining that eye contact, considering the body language, facial expressions, emotions, and tone. What are those telling me about this person and how they're engaging? This is the hardest for me. Not interrupting. One of my daughters is just a very intentional processor, and I just can see where she's going before she gets there, and I just love to jump in and finish her sentence for her. And it just deflates her, right? So often, the greatest gift we can give someone is to just let them finish. And then when they finish their thought, just wait. Because guess what? They probably have something more to say about it if we give them the space. So just giving people space, letting them process, not interrupting, not thinking about what we're going to say next. That's hard too, right? Literally just being present with them. Listen to what they're saying and react without judgment. Not drawing the battle lines, right? Summarize main points when they're finished so we know that we're understanding. And then this is maybe the most important, discerning what is the Lord doing in their life. So instead of sitting there thinking about what I'm going to say next, thinking about what is God doing in this situation, discerning, what can I ask? What's a follow-up question that I can ask that will encourage what God is already doing in their life, that's going to support them, challenge them in a new way? So here's the power of coaching. Coaching is in part expanding awareness and helping the person. What Janine shared about so much of conflict comes from within us. It's helping that person expand their awareness of what's going on outside, but also facilitating self-discovery. Where is this emotion coming from? Where is this perspective coming from? What do I need to think about differently? And that's where the Holy Spirit can stir. That's where the Holy Spirit can bring conviction and encouragement and direction. We want to create this space for the Holy Spirit to do the work that only He can do. And coaching is a powerful, powerful way for us to do that. Thank you.